Coffee with Cudmore.
Light 104.7 and 1570 AM. WVTL.
Susie Maines joins us. She's a talent expert, the go-to person for young Hollywood stars. Good morning, Susie.
Good morning. How are you, Bob?
I'm doing okay. What a fascinating job you have. Who are some of the young performers with whom you have worked?
Well, I've worked with a lot of them. I've worked with Tobey Maguire. He first came in to meet me when he was 12 years old, and he'd never done anything. Mm-hmm. And he read a commercial for me, and I was hooked right from there. I worked with Stacey Ferguson, who's, Fergie of the Black Eyed Peas, and they had her on a show called Kids Incorporated, where she was singing and dancing even as a young girl. And Catherine McPhee, who's on Smash, I brought her back from Boston University because I thought she was so exceptional. I begged her to quit school and come to Hollywood, and she did. So, yeah, I've been doing this for a long time.
And it's something that's fascinating to people, even if we aren't talented or don't have children who go into this. And I think one of the fascinations is that so many of these kids seem to get in trouble.
Well, you know, it seems that they do, and you know, first of all, they are under more of a fishbowl because, you know, they're known. But, you know, I think there's reasons for that because, you know, when children are in show business, you know, as a young kid, they can do a lot of movies, they can do a television series, and they can come off of that, and they're another person. You know, they look different. They're, you know, when they have started out adorable seven and ended up at an awkward 13, 14, and they have to continue proving themselves at, you know, at 10, as a preteen, as a teenager, and then, you know, as an adult. So to make that transition is hard. The other thing is that, you know, unfortunately some kids, because, you know, it doesn't always start out intentionally this way with parents, but they, you know, they put their kids into business and they start to find out that, you know, their financial worries kind of end up being over and the kids start supporting the family. And then, you know, there's a lot of pressure on them. And then instead of supporting the child's passion, what ends up happening is that the child is supporting the family. And it's like, hey, you wanted to do this. Come on. We can't stay out here in Hollywood. You're not paying the rent. You've got to get another job. And that's just an abnormal amount of pressure. And then when they stop booking, then sometimes the parents walk away. Sometimes they do. And it's a lot of pressure for kids, and it's no wonder that they fall into a bad way. You know, if their family ends up being corrupted, they're not in the spotlight anymore.
Mm-hmm. And what about it from your end of the business? I mean, are there talent scouts, if that's the phrase, that, you know, should be avoided?
Say that again?
Are there talent scouts who also, you know, take advantage of the kids?
Well, first of all, if you are working, you know, with an agent or a manager, if you're looking to put your child in the business and you want to work with an agent or you want to work with a manager, no one will ever take money from you up front. It's basically that talent, you know, reputable talent representatives work forward, and that's why it's hard to get a good agent or manager, because working forward for your child and maybe even working for a year before your child books anything, you know, you have to really believe in that child, in that talent, in order to take them on and start, you know, getting them out there to great auditions and in front of casting directors and studios and producers and directors. You have to really believe in them to want to develop them and get them out there. So anyone that's asking you for money up front, you should really do your homework. If someone is, you know, you might get asked to join a talent convention, or take an acting class, and then you have to really evaluate whether or not you want to do that. Because acting classes, if you take an acting class in LA with a great coach, is going to cost you about $350 for about 8 weeks.
Mm.
You know, if you do what's called a talent convention, those are things where they do gather agents and managers and casting people who are reputable to come and meet the kids. But, you know, it's very costly to do it. And so it's really, you know, a lot of kids have been discovered from some of those. But you have to be able to sort out which ones are reputable and which ones are not. Because, you know, I know that some of them, I'm told, just set up in hotels and then disappear. So you really have to do your homework.
Mm-hmm. Susie Maines joins us, a talent expert. In fact, you're working on a book, and the title is kind of telling, Kids for Sale. That doesn't sound too optimistic.
Well, you know, it's kind of, you know, that's, it's sort of a phrase that, you know, that reps use a lot of times when you say, I'm buying that talent for the duration of the film, or I'm buying them for a week. So it's sort of, you know, just a play on that when, you know, it's a play on that in the title.
Sure, sure.
But there are optimistic sides, Bob, to this business. I mean, there is an upside. There is a positive, a really positive side if it's done right, that, you know, people should be aware of just as much as with the downside.
Yeah, and I would say, I mean, this has gone on for decades. I mean, you hear stories about the child actors of even the 20s and the 30s, and probably just when we had stage, you know, with vaudeville, you know, kids growing up in vaudeville. But with television, you know, things like American Idol and whatnot, I mean, it's just so, it's so intense. You know, everybody wants to be a star.
Yeah, it seems like it, and it has changed a lot. I mean, when you said the kids growing up in vaudeville, I think Julie Andrews grew up in vaudeville.
Yeah.
It's interesting, you know, just the path that, you know, it's taken. You know, it used to be, you know, that, you know, we had three networks, and anybody that was on those three networks, any of the kids that were on there were just, you know, super well known. And nowadays we have, you know, you can keep turning on, and the more money you spend, the more networks you have on your TV. And the chances are good that you'll find, you know, kids on all of those stations, whether it's reality shows or whether it's, whether they're scripted shows. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so there's more competition in that sense for the attention, and less competition for the jobs.
What is it that Hollywood or showbiz is looking for in young people?
Well, the first thing is that I look for is confidence. You know, when a child walks into the room and they just can own it, you know, they have that X factor, and you're like, whoa, they're amazing. And that's, you know, you notice that with people, too. When someone walks into a room and they kind of grab your attention, that's what you're looking for. It's like, whoa, who is that? Mm-hmm. You want to know that person. So that's one thing, is confidence. And then, you know, we look, of course, for a skill level. You know, some kids can walk in and just amaze you because they're so super talented. They come in and they have real instincts. When they look at a script, they know how to become the character. And they, you know, I just sit back in awe. You know, I suppose it's the same when someone who's a singing teacher hears someone sing for the first time, that just, you know, transcends anything that they normally hear, or someone who, you know, coaches gymnastics. But when you see someone who's a star in what they do, you know that, and that's super exciting. So that's one thing. The other thing is that with kids, there are labor laws. And so those labor laws kind of dictate, like, how long a child can work. So they change from babies up, but they then change at the age of 6, 9, 16, and 18. And so because of that, the children that we look at tend to want to run in size, average to very small for their age, because Hollywood would much rather hire a legal 9. And very often we get, you know, great auditions that a 7 or 8-year-old can't go on because they're not legal 9. They want a legally 9-year-old to play 7 or 8, and sometimes 6, 7, or 8. Or they want a legally 6-year-old to play 4, 5, 6. So when you have, say, a 9-year-old that looks 12, and they're auditioning with these 9-year-olds that look 6 or 7, then one, you know, they don't look like there isn't as smart when they're answering the questions, because they look like they should be older. Mm-hmm. And two, you know, they can't play younger, and they can't play older because of the labor laws.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing we look for. If we see someone walk in that's older and looks super young, we're like, woo, that's great.
Susie Maines with us, talent expert. It says here that you've had 25 years experience in New York and Los Angeles. To get your child considered, must you go to those places, or is that really the best thing to do?
Well, I don't think you should go to those places without representation. So one of the great things about, you know, the technology today is that, you know, you can send an agent or a manager a picture and resume of your child. Even if your child hasn't done anything, you can create a little resume with his or her name and height and hair color, eye color, and anything that they've done, training in terms of, you know, it could be singing, dancing, swimming, anything that they're super good at. You should go on the resume whether they've done a school play, community theater, and then you send the picture. It doesn't have to be a professional headshot, but one where we can just clearly see the child. And you could send a very short video that says, you know, has your child saying, hi, you know, my name is, you know, is Cassandra, and I'm 8, and I really want to do this, and, you know, just to get a little sense of the child's personality. And then at that point, you know, you may be asked to come and have an audition in New York or Hollywood, but you do have to be prepared, you know, that you would... Well, how far are you from New York City?
About 160 miles.
Well, no, see, that's not considered an unreasonable commute. Because here in L.A., too, we have people that commute from San Diego all
sure,
the time.
Sure.
And, you know, you could, you know, say to your agent or manager, you know, I only want to go on, you know, feature film auditions, you know, because we can't be driving in every day. But, you know, you only want to go on certain things. So, you know, that would be the way to go, I think, where, you know, your listeners are hearing,
sure,
is to get an agent in Manhattan and then work out a schedule where you would come in.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people go on tape long distance, too. If you're already working with an agent, they may, and I do this all the time, I'll say, you know, I'll send an audition to a client that I may have that, you know, isn't here right now, but may be living in you know, in the Midwest or in Florida, and have them go on tape for a project.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want to steal you from somebody else if you have another minute. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing. And I know a little boy, I think he's, from what you're saying, a legal nine. And it's a long story, but he's out in the suburbs of Boston. And he's joined the national touring company, or one of them, of Les Mis. And he plays the little boy in Les Mis. And I hear from, you know, indirectly from those parents. I really don't know the parents well, but I know friends of theirs. For example, his mom or his dad is always with him on this trip. And, you know, he's tutored and so forth. Sounds like he's treated pretty well. Is that the standard?
Yes, you know, there are labor laws that mandate, you know, that, you know, how long a child can work, and they have a teacher who's always on the set that's double credentialed as a social worker to make sure that the labor laws are upheld, and that's making sure that they're not put in a precarious situation, a dangerous situation, or working overtime when, you know, you can tell that it's passed, or even when it's passed where they're working, if you can see the child's, you know, super tired. So, yes, and they usually have, you know, you always cross your fingers that they have good caterers and craft services. So, and, you know, a lot of it just depends on the whole group. Sometimes you get a cast and crew that's amazing, and they, you know, the kids just weep when they have to leave, you know, because it's
sure,
like a family.
But, and also, one thing that I thought was maybe a little harsh that the parents were told, I imagine it's come down to the kid, is that, you know, if we don't think he's cutting the, you know, the mustard, which is really an old phrase, you know, he's out of there. We got, you know, some other kid will come in Akron, let's say, if he's not doing the job.
Well, it's true. And they always, I mean, and there's brutal stories. You know, I can remember when they were recasting for Annie after many years, and they finally did this big, huge search, and they found this wonderful little girl, and she worked on it. She worked on the show in the workshop. She worked on it in previews. She came to Broadway. She was doing the previews, and then she got the flu. And so she was out for a couple days, and her understudy went on, and all of a sudden they got a fax and said, don't show up, you know, you don't have the role anymore.
Hey.
And, I mean, that, you know, that can put you on the couch for the rest of your life, because you've been working on it for, you know, almost, you know, a year, and then all of a sudden you get told, well, you're not going to be in the show anymore. And with shows, a lot of times it's based on height too. You know, if you get to a certain height, they have to, you know, hire someone else because, you know, a lot of things are contingent on height in you know, theater.
Yep.
So with kids, so yeah, it can be brutal and sad.
Yep.
And you can get replaced. You can do a pilot out here for a series and get so excited because finally it got picked up and you worked on it and you love everybody and then you know they replace you.
Yeah.
And you start to take that personally. So it's tough. I mean, it's hard knocks.
Susie Maines, a pleasure talking with you. Is there anything you wanted to say about you know, something you like to plug, or your book isn't out yet, right?
No, my book's not out. You can go to my website, SusieMaines.com. I'm going to be a guest on Dr. Phil next week, the 28th and 29th. You can watch it. I look forward to, you know, you can submit your pictures to TrilogyTalent@gmail.com, pictures and resumes, and we're happy to see everyone who submits.
Well, Susie Maines, again, a pleasure. Thank you very much, and have a good day.
Okay, thank you so much, Bob. Bye-bye.
And remember, there's no business like show business.